Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Romans 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to talk to you about the fact that we should spread the gift. Tell somebody, be generous and spread the gift. And tell somebody, freely you have received, freely give out. So we are talking about spread the gift, part one. Praise the Lord. Take your seat. It is very clear that sin has got punishment. Sin has got wages. Sin has got payments. And here, sin is not even an act. Sin is more of an institutionalized body of work of unrighteousness that is imputed to the man who does not have Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. So you can be morally upright, but you don't know Jesus, you are already a sinner. You can be a very good person, giving all your life, all your materials to the world, and if you don't know Jesus Christ, you do not have righteousness, and that makes you a sinner. So it goes beyond the act or wrongdoings. It's more of a nature, and that nature produces its fruits of wrongdoings. You see them in Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh. They are A, B, C, D, and all of that. So when you see people operating in witchcraft, in armed robbery, in fetishism, in all manner of things that we deem to be undesirable to society, all the delinquency and all of that, they hail from the nature of sin. And this nature of sin is incapable of delivering itself. And so because of that, and it is so because the bridge between the giver of life and the sinner was broken by sin. And so for the sinner to receive the capacity to become whole, there was the need for God to introduce himself into the equation. And in doing that, God came in Jesus Christ. You know, that's, we use the dispensation where we talk about the Son of God, because God came in the flesh to deliver man who was incapable of delivering himself. And he says that that coming of God in the flesh is to deliver man, is the gift God gave to mankind. This is God offering himself as a gift to humanity so that humanity will receive the life that is eternal that God alone can give. Are you here with me at all? And so this eternal life is what saves man or delivers man from the punishment of sin, the wages of sin, you call it anyhow, what man really deserves for not having the nature and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So this is a gift. This gift is doctrinally called salvation. It's called what? I can't hear you. It's called what? It's called salvation. In fact, the proper word is redemption. That you are redeemed from sin. You are bought out of sin by the payment that Jesus made with his blood on the cross by grace. Praise the Lord. And so man has to be redeemed. And for that redemption to happen, the gift must go out there. It's a gift. And it's a gift of life. And it's not a normal life. It's eternal life that is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus coming to offer himself as a gift of eternal life to us. He says that humanity will not have this gift until we have some delivery boys and girls spreading this gift around. In fact, if you read the latter books of the New Testament, I think it's Titus or Jude that says that the gift of God that saves the world has appeared unto all men. Are you here with me? It has appeared unto all men. It's appeared unto all men. The reason why that appearance becomes a practical appearance is because there are some delivery boys sending this gift around in the community. So the neighborhood will not receive the gift until we become generous. Until we what? Until we become generous. And this gift is important. This is the most important gift the Godhead could offer humanity. Himself to us, to save us from ourselves. That is incapable of having this eternal life. So you and I, we are blessed that we have this eternal life in us. We have Him in us. And it's a gift. We didn't buy it. We didn't work for it. No man is going to have to buy it or work for it. Every man is going to receive it freely. But the delivery is a lot of work. Making this gift available in the neighborhood to the neighbors is a lot of work. Remember, Jesus is this gift. And the Bible makes us understand that Jesus is the truth. Jesus is what? I can't hear you. Jesus is what? John chapter 14, verse number 6. Can we read it? Jesus speaking boldly said, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Please let us establish that no one gets saved except they have this gift of God to mankind. Jesus is the gift. He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. No other way for man to be saved. No man can be saved by the multitude of generosity. It's not possible. You can't be saved by the quality of your morality. You cannot be saved by even giving your life for the salvation of other people, whichever contestant salvation is. You can give off your head like John the Baptist and it will still not save anybody. It will not save you. You don't become a president to go to heaven. You don't become a community, philanthropist. And that qualifies you for. There is no hard work or good work that will make anybody qualify for eternal life. The only qualification is Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. I am the way. If it is not by me and through me, you have missed the way. And there can be many ways, but they are not the way. I am the way, the truth, the life. And no man cometh to the Father. I don't know about angels, but he said, no man cometh to the Father except. When except is placed there, it simply means that there is no other way. There is no other mean. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can we read it in the message? The message says that no man gets to the Father apart from me. Apart from me. But by me. Except me. So, it is important for us to understand that Jesus is the only source of life. That is the way for people to receive salvation. And this gift of God, if you don't have it all day long, punishment is coming for you. If you don't have it, All your life, no matter how well you live it here on earth, you will cross and go and meet a divine punishment. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. We will get into something very soon. It says that, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know, in African traditional religion, a person can be said to have come back again. That the person used to be, died, and came back again. It's one of the useless things that people say in this life. And people can even brag about it by saying that, as for me, I have gone and I have come back. It is never ever in scripture, it has never been the position of scripture that a man came on earth, died, and came back again. Whether in a different generation or in the same generation, it is not Christianity. And I have heard some supposed men of God saying that, supposed, because these days, a lot of people, it depends on what you say you are. But for our Christianity, Peter didn't die and go and come back. John, no. Paul, no. Are you here? You, in Christianity, there is no Kwasambra. There is nobody who gets born in a different generation, dies and comes back. Like, maybe Konfanochi can come back in African traditional religion, but in Christianity, it's not permitted. Hello? It's not permitted. Somebody can operate in an anointing that God used before. But you are not that person. And sometimes we use things like, I've come in the spirit of Elijah, Elias, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elias, and blah, 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 blah. But John the Baptist is not Elijah. Are you here with me at all? So we are not traditionalists. We are Christians who believe in Christ. And sometimes you are in your family and they will tell you these things. Or you meet a supposed prophet and he will tell you that, as for you, you are great. You become this and that because you have been here before and you have come back. You are not permitted to be so in Christ. It is appointed unto men once to appear and disappear and not to come back again. Once you are here and you leave, your next bus stop is facing your maker. That's it. There's no middle point. There is no middle point. So please let us understand that you and I, there is an appointment for us, and likewise every other human being, to be here on earth, die, and face our maker. And this judgment, this kind of accountability of the life that God gave us, all humanity, is what we are talking about, eternity. So important how people spend life beyond this natural world. And if we don't plan to redeem men by the provisions given us in redemption, we will have a lot of people falter on the day of judgment. That is why what it takes for people not to be in trouble on this day of judgment is a gift. Is what? A gift that no one has to buy. It's a gift that the Bible, that Romans we read, it says, it's a free gift of God. It's free. Say it's free. Yeah, it's God's free gift to humanity. Can we read it in the message? It said, work hard for sin. Work hard for sin your whole life. And your pension is debt. You work for sin, sin will retire you and kill you. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus, our Master. Work hard for sin, your whole life and your pension is dead. You see, sometimes we lack the passion to do what He wants us to do because we have taken for granted the fact that there is a major trouble that is coming. A major tribulation, a trial that is irredeemable. Once you die, nobody is going to be able to pray for you to be in a good condition for God to show you mercy. All the mercy we talk about, all the show grace we talk about, it's only relevant when the human being is alive. Once the person closes the eyes, we can buy a service in the keeper's house for the person, buy mass for the person, do a nice funeral, invite everybody. We can fast and pray all our life. It's changing nothing. The docket is closed. It's closed. And the case is, you can't bring in new evidence. You can't bring in supporting evidence. What has gone into the case is what has gone into the case. You can't make an appeal. There is no parole. You are there. You are going to face it as it is. And so, all the playing around, sometimes we see people, we play around and all of that. There has to be a burning desire in our heart, knowing that there is a gift that we must spread in the neighborhood. It's free. And when something is great and free, you have to chase people to have it. That's why even governments. I remember when J.J. Rollins brought F-Cube. He was chasing children on the street. That if a child was caught on the street who was not in school, the parent had problem. Because you would think that when something is free and is useful, people will subscribe to it. It doesn't work that way. Once it is useful and free, people don't subscribe to it. People always want to pay for what doesn't work. But if it works and it's free, we don't like it. Are you here with me at all? That is why, whether it's free SHS, free university and all of that, some people, the way they will utilize it is to create some corruption inside it. One of the reasons why free SHS, I believe, struggled was how they were useless in the food. And food is a major part of that free. That headmasters and matrons and patrons were not given the former chance of shopping on their own. I know a head assistant headmaster who became a headmaster in another school who took charge of the shopping. He's a man, oh, because that's why bezes were very powerful in the secondary schools, because the gig was there. So making everything free and central is like, what are we, aside our salary, how do we get money again? So now the sabotage starts. If this government says it's going to make it better, he has to deal ruthlessly with headmasters, bezes, whichever people. They can send a truckload of food, perishable food, and somebody has to sign and take delivery. But because he's not getting a gig, food will stand there and get rotten. Because that policy must not work, so that we'll go back to the one that gives allowance for people to steal. So when something is free and useful, human beings will not subscribe to it easily. We have to send it to them. We have to what? I can't hear you at all. We have to do what? To send it to them. Salvation is free. It's free. And this is just a human example. When I show you the true state of man and the need for us to send salvation to them, it will even make sense to you that until we decide to do the job, nothing will be done. And neighbors are important to God. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:25. It says that, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. We learned that Jesus is what? Is what? Is the way, the truth, and what? The life. It says that, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one body. So this one is speaking to the Christians. And in speaking to the Christians, he says, see a Christian as a neighbor. But we know that neighborliness is not just about people who have one faith. It also has to do with people that God puts around you, either in close proximity physically or maybe transnationally. And so he's saying that whoever you conceive as your neighbor, one thing you shouldn't do is that don't lie to the person. In fact, in the old covenant, it says that do not give false witness against your neighbor. It's still the same. You don't tell your neighbor what is not eternally useful. If you are speaking to your neighbor, there must be no lies. And there are many people around us who have become our neighbors, either in where we dwell, where we work, in our social networks, they have become our neighbors. And the Bible is requiring of us that anytime we are speaking to a neighbor, it must be the truth. And I want to put your mind on this matter, that the most important truth you can speak to a neighbor is Jesus being the savior of mankind. That if God brought you into the life of any human being at all, the first truth you and I are expected to do as people who have been sent is that they should hear Jesus from your mouth first. If they have never heard about this truth, that there is something called salvation, redemption, that you must be saved. You can't just be born, live and die, and everything is fine. That there is a dynamic that you need to know, and that is the truth, that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, judgment. And the way you escape that judgment is that you must know the truth, and the truth is that Jesus is the only one who saves. This neighbor, your neighbors must hear this truth from your mouth. There is no shying about it. There is no playing about it. Your neighbors must hear of Jesus. People know Coca-Cola, they don't know Jesus. There was a time they did a research. They said Coke was more popular than the name Jesus. That is, the people who made the product Coke had marketed Coke so far that people living in hinterland, in forgotten lands, knew about Coke when they had not heard about Jesus. And the reason it is so is that we are not generous with the gift. The gift, the free gift of life in the neighborhood. People in your neighborhood should be able to point and say, the first time I heard about Jesus, I heard it from this brother. I heard it from this sister. It doesn't matter how the radio is doing it, television is doing it. Your neighbors must hear the truth. Speaking to every neighbor, every man, the truth, everyone. Speak every man truth with your neighbor. Praise the Lord. Your neighbor in the office. He didn't say go and condemn anybody. He didn't say go and judge anybody. We listen, we don't judge. But we tell the truth. You are not telling the person the truth because of whatever your assessment of the whole matter is. It is because it is required of you. It's required of you that your mother should know the truth, that Jesus must save her, or else you will be in heaven and they will be somewhere. Your neighbor should know the truth. Should know the truth. Please ask somebody that up until now, do people know the truth? And you know, sometimes when you say, I have to tell the person the truth, that prostitution, that's not the focus of salvation. The focus of salvation is not to point to the armed robber that armed robbery is not good, or prostitution or fornication is not good, or adultery is not good, or being on drugs is not good. That's not the focus of salvation. The focus of salvation is that you give the person the truth, which is Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Come on now. You give the person what? Because you cannot point the sin of a sinner to a sinner for the sin not to be appealing to the sinner. Sin will forever be appealing to a sinner. And the more the sinner is conscious of sin, the more the sinner wants to sin. The sinner needs an antidote. And the antidote is the truth. Is what? Is the truth. We are sent. Jesus said, I'm sending you. Go and tell them that the kingdom of God is what? Is here. It's at hand. Now, I'm going to bring the message to an end. But listen. There is a weight of responsibility laid on us. If we don't rise to it, God will ask us. And the reason why this sharing this gift in the neighborhood is so important is because in Ephesians chapter 2, let's read from verse 1. You will see that, you see, salvation is a very spiritual, legal, technical match. Even the semantics around it can be the reason why some people may never receive it. The question is, normally we say, come and give your life to Christ. Come and give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. All these languages around salvation, they don't make sense from the position of what Christ has done. When you read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, and you has he quickened who were dead in trespass and sins. Watch it. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Just watch it. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as what others. He's just talking to us prior to knowing Christ. What our state was. He said, but God, say but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Please be underlining it. Sometimes you need a paper Bible, or if you are using a digital Bible, I want to see a tablet, not a phone. Underline this thing. Use your phone in the office. Bring tablet to church or bring Bible. Carry the Bible like do the work of an evangelist. I know it's a digital world, but when I pick my tablet or the paper Bible, it's a different matter. All right. So it says that even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Now, let's just end here. Let me explain something to you. Why you must be generous with the gift of salvation. First of all, if someone is not in Christ, that person is a child of wrath. It's facing the wrath of God. And that person is also a trespasser. That person is a sinner. And this sinner, the Bible says that, is dead. The sinner is what? When you are not in Christ, you are a sinner that is dead. You are in a mortuary. Anybody that is not in Christ is mortuary condition. The sinner is dead, is irresponsive. That's why I'm saying that some of the language around salvation is problematic. Come and give your life to Christ. When you are dead, you don't have life to give. What life is the dead man giving? You don't have life to give because you are dead. And what is making you dead is a sin. So, when you are calling people to come and give their life to Christ, the dead person is incapable of giving its life. It's incapable of making a decision. It's incapable of offering him or herself. Are you with me at all? It's a state of deadness that makes you incapable of offering anything because you have nothing to offer. When you are dead, you have nothing to offer. You are no longer part of the game. When you are dead, we make a decision to bath you no matter how rich you are. We prepare you. Are you here with me at all? We make a decision. We have to treat you so that you don't get rotten in our space. So I will put you in mortuary. People with expertise will be handling you. Because if we leave you, the deadness will now come and affect everybody. Because when you are dead, you have nothing to offer. You don't have life to offer. So we don't tell people to give their life to Christ. Because if you are not in Christ, you don't have life. And you are dead. Now, you are telling dead people to come into Christ is impossible. Like the people in the mortuary, they cannot do a meeting and say that today we are going to town. It's not possible. Mortuary doesn't come to town. Dead people don't come to town. Are you here with me at all? That is why if we are waiting for sinners to come into Christ, it is not possible. It's not what? I want you to hear this. That's why I said be generous and spread the gift. Move. Dead people don't decide. Helped. So the Bible is saying that you are dead in sin. This is the crux of the message. Once you don't have Christ, you are dead. And it says that even when we were dead in sins, has he quickened us together with Christ? So now, the dead person is there. It is when Christ comes into the dead person, that life comes into the dead person. Christ is the life that comes into the dead person because of sin. The sin makes you dead. It is Christ coming to your life. Coming into you, that gives you that life. Quickens you into life. Are you here with me at all? That is why the Bible is saying that if that is not happening, then they are children of disobedience. They can't hear it. They can't fathom it. They cannot comprehend it. They do not have the capacity to offer. You give the life to them. And that life is, you send it to the mortuary. If you think you can raise a dead person, you go to the mortuary. The dead person is not coming to you. You that has the life, you go to the dead person and you offer the medicine. That just imagine somebody whose nerves and system has been, maybe they have injected the person and the person is immobilized. And then you have an antidote that can release the person and bring the person to proper functionality. And you are waiting for the person to come. That's why you just simple asthmatic patient. Once they don't have their inhaler, and they struggle and they fall down and they can't move. The whole system cannot move. They can be there screaming in their head, but the body will not move. Somebody would have to take the inhaler, give it to them, and that gives them life back. This is the seriousness of Jesus saying that I have sent you. That these people, they are in darkness, they cannot see, their eyes have been blinded, their hearts have been captured with disobedience by the devil. Sin has made them dead and irresponsive. Go and inject them with me, life in them. And what do? We run commentary about, have you seen that dead person? Have you seen that dead person? Accidentally, channel 9. Have you seen that dead person? Are you here with me at all? We just describe their deadness. It's a fornicator. It's an adulterer. It's a witch. It's a wizard. It's this. It's that. Look, they will be that forever. Until we send Christ to them. Until. And he's saying that, please, let's read from verse 1 again to verse 6. It's beautiful, Bia. And you has he quickened who were dead. We were like that. Dead in trespasses and sin. That's why righteousness doesn't make sense when you are dead. When you are in sin. That's why people who are in sin or who are not Christians, how are you happy? What makes you happy? Alcohol is not making you happy. That's a dead man talking. Womanizing is not making you happy. That's a dead man talking. You have money. If you have money and you don't know Christ and you are a man, it's women, alcohol, drugs. That's it. That's the fun. That's the state of deadness. But when you are in Christ, there is life. That life has its own dynamics. He said, we too, we were there. And he said, wherein in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, there is a spirit working in them, making them deader than the dead. There is a spirit. We are not just dealing with human beings. We are dealing with human beings who have been captured by a spirit that makes them deader on a daily basis. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. It's just normal. Whatever is happening to them is plain and it's normal. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. That's why I met a lady. She says that if I don't have sex a day, I don't know what I'll do to myself. Whether you have money or you don't have money, or she needs the sex to balance herself. Because it's dead. Lust of the flesh. Person is dead. You think you have conquered. No, she needed you. Need. When you go to the university, you have a lot of crypto. Many are getting, because your people steal ladies' pants on the line. It's not fresh, it's used. They don't know why. They just pick it. Because it's a dead person. Spirit of the dead is reigning inside that person. Works of the flesh. Nangabe steely pants and steely fufre. Dead. That's why some people, you don't understand why when badness comes into the atmosphere, they have energy. Because it's a sign that they are what? Dead. If you bring something good, they don't have appetite for it. That's why you see people who are into banditry and all of that. They are dead, though. That's why people can just send them small momo. They will kill somebody for you right now. Is the state of the deadness. How is that going to change? We can't preach it. We cannot educate people to stop crime. The thing to stop it is for them to receive life. That life doesn't respond to this work of the flesh. It's a new life that changes the course for them. Apostle Paul was a murderer until he encountered this life. And watch, he didn't go to Jesus. It's Jesus who came to him. It's Jesus who left heaven and came to the earth to save man. Are you listening to me now?
the person, the humanity that is dead doesn't go to God. It is God that comes to the humanity. Jesus left heaven, came on earth to where humanity, to save humanity. He met Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus to save him. Everywhere people have been saved, they don't go to God. God goes to them. That is why you and I have been given the duty of sending this Christ to them. Not waiting for them to come, because the dead people will not come. They cannot come. They are not coming because they don't love church or they don't love God, because they have no capacity. If you are dead, you have no capacity to love. We have to send the life to you. If we have anything that can bring them life, he says that Christ has quickened us. When Adam was a clay, he was not in existence. God sent himself to that clay and brought life out of that clay. Look, the earlier we take the mantle, the duty, the responsibility, the better. Because nobody is coming. We have to send this gift of life to them. They are not coming, not because they don't love God or they don't love church, because they are what? I can't hear you at all. They are what? They are dead. And where there is salvation, life has to be sent. He said this, verse 4. Please put verse 4. But God, when he saw all that state, who is rich in mercy, bringing life to dead people is what he defines as being rich. He has seen that they are not capable. And here we are. And here we are, say, your neighbors, they are not capable. They see you going to church, but they don't even understand it. Their soul doesn't understand it. Why does this person go to church? Why does this person wake up and praise to Jesus? Why? Muslims don't understand. Hindus don't understand. All people, good people around you, they simply don't understand why. Because they are in a particular state. It's about God, rich in mercy. For his great love, wherewith he loved us. John chapter 3 verse 16 makes us understand that this love is Jesus coming in the flesh to save mankind. That's the love. He came. He didn't allow man to come to him. He came. He gave his life to give us life. For God so loved the world. Please go back to the Ephesians. For the great love, it says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's raised us. We're down. We're dead. He comes into you and brings life. That life is eternal life. The robot start working. The toy start working. The dead man start coming alive and being controlled by the spirit that has given it life. This is the mission of the believer to neighbors. You speak truth and send life. In him is life. John chapter 1. In him is life. That life is the light of man. In him is life. This life brings light. No more blindness. Life. Who are the people sending this life to these dead people? They are not coming to Jesus. We have to take Jesus to them. Just see all of them dead on a battlefield. And we have injection of Jesus. Are you here with me? Truth, we inject them. Jesus, 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 Jesus. All of them come alive. If we don't send Jesus, who is alive, to them, they have no power to come to where the life is. We send the life to the communities, to the people. If you sit, you are causing people to die. That's what the Bible now talks about, the fact that people's blood will be demanded from you because you have the gift. Now show them what fat toffee toffee bag back on and show them. And who did toffee in his something that is supposed to be spread in the community. Every other person is in a different world. And you have never spread that life. God is real. Do you know that when he put his life in the clay that made Adam, after that, the next life, he didn't do it like that again. He took the life from the life he had given from Adam and put it in another dead one and gave another one life. Are you here with me at all? We have become quickening spirits. So once he's just giving us life, the rest of this world are going to receive life based on the life we give them. We send them through Christ. Jesus is not coming here to do this thing again. Adam, you have life. Anytime we want Eve, we'll take a rape. Anytime we want another Eve, and from that Eve, more people are getting born into the world. That life is produced like that. Some of us, we are short-circuiting this process. We have terminated this process of the flow of life. And now you and I, we have become channels of salvation to give our world life by giving them Jesus. And what have we done? Life kotokune usi them. A sack of life. A container of life that is not spreading in the community. I pray that this simple truth of giving life to dead men will awaken you and make you respond to the call of the Holy Spirit that said, go ye to the world. 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 It did not say when you are sick, you can't give this life. Because we are not talking about health here. We are talking about eternal life. It did not say when you are poor, you don't qualify. Because we are talking about eternal life. You don't need to be in any natural good condition to give this life. This is a different kind of life. Sending the gift of righteousness, gift of eternal life to your neighbors. How many people are receiving life, eternal life, because of you and I? An opportunity to meet somebody. It's an opportunity to say the truth and give them life. A medical doctor is not shy to give you life when duty calls. It's not shy, whether he has bath or wherever they called him, whether he is from jogging, he is smelling, if they say it's an emergency, he doesn't need to go home. He drives straight. When he comes, his body may be smelling, but he knows that if he doesn't bring you life, you will die. You don't need to be in the best condition to give life. You already have the life. You give that. You don't need to have a job. Cry, my bonfire, nyami wa mama juma, my bonfire, me woye, awaria bako, enti me jai nyami juma. No, no. Unfortunately for you. Once you have this life, you must give life. And the contract was not to make you good naturally before you go and do his work. That he left his throne to come and live in you. You and I have no choice. Sometimes I hear people say that, "En masumu nyami aina say atumi into mejai nyami echidi." And then the ministry left me because of events and all of that. I pray that God shows all of us mercy. But it shouldn't be the foundation. The apostles didn't turn back because Nejuma say and they attacking the faith and oh losing the faith and oh yeah. No, the salvation is beyond that. It's beyond that. That's why Paul said, not in hunger, not in tribulation, not depth nor height, Everything happening around us shouldn't be the determining factor for you to send life to dead men who will never have life until Jesus comes into their life, into their hearts. Are you with me? Are you sure you are here? This morning, maybe you are here. You naturally feel alive, but you have seen in the scripture that if you don't have Christ, it means that you are a dead man. And I have brought Christ to you. This Christ in your life gives you life. In your heart, he will give you life. You want to say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. Come into my heart. And make me live. Give me life. No knowing whatever I am bundling myself around with is equal to death. This is not life. This is death. If you are here this morning, you want to say, Jesus, come into my heart and give me life. I want every eye closed. Every eye closed. Jesus, come into my heart and give me life. If you are that person, raise your hand. I am going to pray with you. And you are going to see the life of God coming to you. You have not received Jesus yet. You don't have Jesus in your heart. So you don't have life. But this morning he said, I want eternal life. I want life. The life of God in me. If you are that person, please raise your hand. I will pray with you. Jesus will come into your heart and the dead man will come alive. The dead man will come alive. The dead woman will come alive. Everyone lift your hands. Say, Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity of knowing you. I can't hear you. Say, Jesus, thank you for the opportunity of you being in my life and giving me eternal life. Thank you for helping me. Lift up your hand right now to send your life to my neighbors, my community, my network. Open your mouth right now. Father, I pray for the obedience. I pray for the grace, the willingness to be able to send this life to my neighbors, to my community, to people around me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Masoka pata laba hasaya. Open your mouth and pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shekopara sonda dias. Hey, sheko de levedes.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Obing on all social media platforms. God bless you.